Let us quiet our hearts as we come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we praise and thank Thee for the goodness that Thou hast shown to Thy people in granting us the gift of eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank Thee for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Thou hast freely given to all whose faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus, and He is our wisdom and our guide. We pray, Lord, and thank Thee for watching and keeping over Thy people in health and strength, that we may gather this morning to worship Thee. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the weeks that have passed and how we have spent time in fellowship with like-minded brethren from various BP churches when they come to their camps. We thank Thee, Lord, for the reminder of our bond of love in Jesus Christ our Lord, and how, Lord, we are rekindled in our hearts with memories of the past, and how, Lord, Thy people have served Thee faithfully, and many have continued to serve Thee. We praise and thank Thee for such wonderful times together. And we pray also, Lord, that we may have years of life on earth in health and strength to continue our service for Thee. And Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Calvary Jaya, this church that Thou hast raised. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy people, and we pray especially for their spiritual growth and maturity, that Thou would strengthen Thy people through the teaching of Thy word. Thou would also help them to grow in maturity, in love, in edifying and bearing the burden one for another. We pray, Lord, that Thy church will be strong, and strong in the faith, especially to do the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look to Thee this moment, we know that we are young children who are now in their Sunday school. We pray, Lord, for Thy grace and blessings upon them, to open their hearts with wisdom, that they may know and understand the lessons that have been taught to them, that they may prepare their hearts for service of the Lord. We pray for teachers, help us, and all that serve Thee in the Sunday school, committee members, and helpers and parents. We pray that they may work together to bring up these young souls in the knowledge of the word of the Lord. And Father, we also thank Thee for the other ministries of the word in this church. We pray for the Grace Death Ministry, that Thou would bless this ministry, that even those who are hearing impaired may have an opportunity to hear the gospel message and to hear the words of wisdom from Thy precious scriptures. And Lord, as we continue praying, we thank Thee for all that serve Thee within this church, the ushers, the greeters, those that serve Thee in the choir, serving Thee in the PA ministry, and all other areas of service, including the lunch ministry and those that help You in the transportation of those who need mobility. Father, we pray that Thou would bless all these Thy people who willingly and gladly offer their service to Thee. Grant them health and strength and perseverance in doing their service and duty to Thee. And Father, we also remember the mission stations, especially our sister Marilyn in Miri. May Thou help her and grant her strength and health daily, especially in doing Thy work, in continuing, Lord, to minister to the church. And we pray for the people in Miri, the families that are in Miri. We pray for the families that have young children, especially, that their children may grow up in the knowledge of the Word of God. And Father, may Thou bless the church of Miri and help them to be strengthened in the faith week after week. And Father, as we look to Thee also, we know that we are weak in the flesh, and many of us have illnesses or pains. We pray for Thy help and Thy grace to grant relief from their discomfort. We remember our sister who is going for her review in July. We pray, Lord, that Thou will grant her peace in her heart, and grant also, Lord, according to Thy precious will, a safe and a smooth outcome for this review. And for others also, we remember our sister who is suffering from sleep disorder. We pray, Lord, that Thou would grant her relief. Grant her, Lord, that she might even be able to get rest, that her mind may be rested, that she may receive peace and comfort in her heart. And for the rest of us, Lord, we pray for those who are elderly, who are suffering from various ailments, that, Lord, Thou would watch over them and heal them and restore them. And grant them most of all, Lord, faith in their hearts to live a good testimony for Thee. For indeed their lives are a testimony to the glorious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, as we open Thy word, we pray for wisdom. May thy Holy Spirit teach and lead and guide us. We ask, Lord, for a special help in illumining, in granting illumination, that thy words may become wisdom to teach us how to live our lives to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. For in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. Now the topic for our consideration, the topic for the sermon this morning is when God hardened the hearts of wicked men. When God hardened the hearts of wicked men. And you will find that in one of the verses. And which verse is that? That is in verse 20, isn't it? Look at verse 20 of Joshua chapter 11. It says, it was of the Lord to harden their hearts. It was of the Lord to harden their hearts. Now what is it about the heart that gets our attention? Now if you look at this and you think of this in your mind, now you've in the course of your life maybe received invitation to attend a wedding, right? It may be a wedding in the church of Christians, or it may be a wedding of believers or unbelievers of or believers of another faith, whatever that may be. And when a young man proposes to a young lady, I'm sure thoughts would go through the minds, right, of the proposer as well as the one receiving the proposal. Right? The young lady may be thinking, you know, I hope and pray this young man is of a good heart. Right? That he is sincere, that he is honest. And he has a faithful heart. He's one who fears the Lord, isn't it? Knowing the heart is such an important thing in our life. In fact, we just sang this hymn, right? Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. God, of course, knows our heart. But we don't always know our own heart. And least of all, do we know each other's hearts, isn't it? And we practice that, well, or we try to overcome that daily. You may be at your place of work. You're about to hire a new employee. And you're interviewing this person, this young man or this young lady. Of course, this young man or the candidate will come with good credentials. They will have the right qualifications. They may have the right experience to present before you in a resume, isn't it? They may have good letters of reference from previous engagements or employment. And you have all of that. But deep down in your heart, as an interviewer, the first question in your mind is this person of a good heart? Isn't it? Is this person honest and loyal? If I take him on into this company or this corporation, will he serve the policies and the wishes of the company? Or will he serve his own agenda? Isn't it true? And such is the heart of men, isn't it? The Bible says, right, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things. Now, the next thing that we know about the heart is this. That in each person's heart, the Bible gives us very often the function of the heart, right? And I don't mean the function of pumping blood, because that is something that we all take for granted, right? If the heart is not beating and pumping blood, well, each one of us would drop dead right away. I'm talking about the analogy or the reference to the heart as a seat of desire. Our desires, the Bible often says, comes from the heart. Not from the organ, right? From within us. But the reference is the word heart. Right? The desire, your desire to do something. Your desire to serve the Lord. Your desire to enroll for further education to improve yourself, isn't it? All that. All of that can be said to be a desire that comes from the heart. And also, very often we say, right, the decision comes from the heart too. Right? That's another reference that you often come across in the Bible. When a man makes a decision, when a king makes a decision to roll out his troops in order to engage in war, that's a decision. And where does that come from? From the heart. And going back to the example that I've given you, when a young man proposes to a young lady, where does that decision come from? From the heart. And the only thing we need to know is the heart a good heart? Or is it a hardened heart? Because in the Bible, and especially in the narrative, in the account that we read today, God's word will give us two different examples of the heart of men. One example I've already read to you comes from verse 20, when God permitted the hardening of a heart. It says it was of the Lord to harden their hearts. And then in another, we have another man. And we know what his name is, Joshua, right? We read of him throughout this book. This book is named, right? After him also, the book of Joshua. And he has a heart that is obedient to God. He has a heart that is obedient to God. And we will find that when a man has a heart that is obedient to God, and I call this a servant's heart, right? Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Then his heart will obey the Lord. And his heart will seek the things of the Lord in order that he may carry out the will of God. Is a young man or a young woman with that kind of a heart that is obedient to God, a servant's heart. And then on the other hand, we have a hardened heart, the hardened heart of wicked men. And their role and their only desire is to go against that which is godly, to go against that which is shown and seen by favor and grace of God. They will go against it. It's a terrible thing. So let's look into the scripture to see what we can learn from today's passage. We begin in verse 15. And verse 15 says this, "As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." So this man Joshua, in verse 15, is described to us as a man that left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. And it's interesting to note, in verse 15, the Bible gives us the entire chain of command. The entire chain of command. And what was the entire chain of command? God gave the commandment to Moses. And then Moses gave that commandment to Joshua. He transmitted it, conveyed it, taught it, instructed it to Joshua. And what did Joshua do? Verse 15, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. You know what's interesting about this passage? It was a commandment of the Lord. But how did Joshua receive it? Through Moses. Through a man, isn't it? A same man we know, well, who is man? Like any other, except that he was a prophet chosen by God. He was known to be a man who is meek and humble. That's what Moses was like. In fact, he was so meek and humble that in one instance, his own sister and brother went against him. Remember that instance with the Ethiopian woman? They were against him. And then there were others who rebelled against Moses as well. Remember the rebellion of Korah and his 250? And God opened up the earth and swallowed them. A man, Moses. And God gave that commandment to a man. And a man gave the commandment to Joshua. And Joshua left nothing undone. There was commanded, the Lord commanded Moses. He obeyed the commandments of the Lord. Such is a man with a servant's heart. Such is a man who is ready to do the will of God. And what did he do in particular? Look at verse 16. It says, "So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same." Now verse 17 describes the geographical extent of his conquest, because verse 17 says, "Even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them." So what Joshua did was to accomplish the conquest of the entire land from the south all the way to the north. And these two, right, very prominent, right, navigational marks, right, navigational points were given, right? Verse 17 says, Mount Halak, that's a mountain in the south, in the area called Seir, which is the place of the Edomites. That's just a little bit south of the Dead Sea. And that area is in the south of the land. And then all the way up to the north, to the foot of Mount Hermon. Verse 17 says, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. So from the south to the north, Joshua conquered that entire land according to what God had commanded him. according to what God had commanded him. A servant's heart. Later on we'll come and understand what it means to be wicked and to have a heart hardened, right? And to have a heart that is stiff and a heart that is stubborn against the will of God. But in these opening verses 15, 16 and 17, the account given to us is that of a servant. One who is ready to obey God. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that all of us have that servant's heart. Ready to obey the Lord, always. And obeying the Lord means obeying His word. And obeying His word also means obeying the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Because as I have mentioned in the earlier verses, where did Joshua receive his instruction and his commandment from? Moses, a man, a servant of God, who was given the word of God and an instruction and commandment in order to transmit and to convey to him. And he obeyed it. And if you remember the earlier sermon that I've preached about this Northern Alliance, right? There were four kings that were in alliance. And they had a very vast army, wasn't it? We read that in the earlier part of the chapter. And God comforted Joshua before that battle. God comforted the Joshua before the battle. Now look at chapter 11, verse 4. What does it say? Right? All the enemies that were in the Northern Alliance in chapter 11, verse 4, it says, and they went out, and this is the enemies, the inhabitants of the land, and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. So there was a big host and alliance that had formed against the Israelites. But Joshua was able to conquer them. And he conquered even before that. There was another alliance by the southern kings. Remember the kings of the five cities, Jerusalem, Hebron, Eglon, Yarmuth, and then Lachish. These five kings, or five kings of these five cities, gathered to fight. And they were also beaten because the Lord fought for Israel. The Lord fought for Israel. And in this we can learn something, brothers and sisters. A heart that is obedient and compliant to God can accomplish great and wonderful things. Great and wonderful things. And very often we pray for our church, we pray for our families, we pray for God's blessings upon our families. But you know what's critically missing? The obedience of our hearts. Are we willing to obey and follow the instruction that's given to us in scriptures? To live a life of good testimonies that our family members may learn and love the word of God by our testimony. Can we as a church progress by living lives that are glorying to the Lord Jesus Christ? Our members in their places of work, in their schools, in their homes, in their communities, by living a life that shows forth that the Lord Jesus indeed is the God of salvation and grace. And that salvation and grace is seen in your lives. And when others see it, it's a wonderful thing. The heart of a servant, one who is willing to serve the Lord. And I pray that members of Calvary Jaya, together, we may all pray for one another. That we are all willing to do that. Willing to do that. Willing to give our heart, our resource, our time for the sake of the Lord. You know, it's so sad in these days that there are so many scams and so many fake invitations for joining all kinds of activity, isn't it? In fact, time and again, you'll get notifications and warnings. Somebody wants you to join a club. Somebody wants you to join a discount or a loyalty program in order that you may gain something. And all of that we know is false. And it is made by the devices in the world, wicked men who would wish to profit by their greed. But then we know this, that there is a true and living God. And all He asks of us is that we give Him our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And that testimony is given to us in His precious written word. It's right here. It's right in your hands. You're holding it. The testimony of God's love. And in return for His love, God's word says, serve me. I would to God, and I pray that many of us would have that heart of service to give your life and your work for the Lord. You know, you might have heard this quote that has been said, the world has yet to see what God can do to a man wholly consecrated to Him. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man that is wholly consecrated to Him, giving yourself and your life for the Lord. And He's a true and living God. And He seeks only your blessing and your joy and your peace. You know that quote that I just given you, many have attributed to a man called Moody. Actually, his origins goes even further back. It came from an evangelist by the name of Henry Farley. But nevertheless, the meaning and the understanding is this, that a man or a woman who would wholly consecrate, give his life for the Lord, what a wonderful thing it would be. Joshua was such a man. He worked with Moses. He was a servant to Moses. He received instruction from Moses. He helped Moses through the journey of the wilderness. He was one of the spies that scouted out the land. Finally, when Moses was taken away, he was appointed the leader, the servant of God, a man wholly given to God. And the Bible describes his obedience, right? All that he did. Verse 15, so did Joshua, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Now you may be reading this verse and thinking to yourself, you know, Reverend Lim, you might be making too much of one verse. No, I'm not. The idea of obedience was repeated many times within chapter 11. So you look at chapter 11, right? What does it say? We just read that, right? As Moses commanded the servant, chapter 11, verse 15, right? As the Lord commanded Moses, isn't it? He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. If you go up just a few more verses, look at verse 12. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he did utterly destroy them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Again, obedience to the commandment of God. But as if that's not enough, if you come down all the way to chapter 11, verse 20, again, it's repeated. The second part of chapter 11, verse 20, that he might destroy them utterly, that he might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. Commandment of the Lord. As the Lord commanded Moses. And then finally come to verse 23. Right, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. You see that pattern of repetition? As the Lord had commanded. As the Lord had said to Moses. A man whose heart is keen and sensitive to the prompting of God. May God have mercy for that man or woman whose heart is hardened against God. So hardened that they are not able to receive the word of God. Because this is what we will come to, right, as we read on. So chapter 11, verse 18 says, Joshua made war a long time with those kings. Now, we must know that in chapter 10 and 11, it gives us the description of two great battles, one in the south and one in the north, right? And these battles were turning points in the conquest of the Holy Land. Turning point meaning that the strength, the crux of the enemy's forces were destroyed in those battles. And one of those battles was in the south, right, in the cities of the Gibeonites. And of course, ending in the cave at Makkedah when the five kings were killed. And the other battle in the north was at the waters of Merom, when the Northern Alliance was pounced upon suddenly by Joshua. But even after those battles, there were remnants in the land. So the Bible described to us in verse 18, Joshua made a war a long time with those kings, right? Despite the fact that the strength of the enemy have been crushed, yet there were pockets, right, here, there, everywhere. And it was required of God's people to be obedient. to continue, right, to occupy the land, to clear the land of the inhabitants. So we read and understand that there was something that was ongoing and continuous, and God wanted the people to continue that, those battles, mopping it up, right, clearing the land of the enemies. Now, verse 19 tells us and describes to us, right, of an event that had happened in the previous chapter. So verse 19 of Joshua chapter 11 said, "There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took to battle." So you see, this verse tells us Joshua learned that lesson. He made an alliance with the Gibeonites, right? Why? Because he saw the old garments, he saw the old shoes, he saw the old leather. He thought they were from far away, without getting counsel from the Lord. He learned that lesson. So the Bible tells us, right, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel. This is a man ready to obey the word of God. He made a mistake, yes, once. God permitted it. But after that, never again, he says. I will not, right, do that because this is not God's will. Now, come to verse 20. So now we have the direct opposite. We have a man whose heart is wholly consecrated, ready to serve the Lord, ready to obey God's word. Then comes verse 20, Joshua chapter 11. "For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts." Now, who is their hearts? These are the kings and the inhabitants of the land. And what does it say in verse 20? "That they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses." As the Lord commanded Moses. The hardened hearts of wicked men. We have a servant's heart, right, who is compliant, who will receive the word of God. It is as if the word of God is a seed that will fall on good ground and it brings forth fruit, good fruits of labor. But then we have another kind of heart that is described as hardened, right? Hardened meaning stiff, right? Stiff, unable to give way, stubborn. Now, verse 20 says, "For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts." Now, how does this mechanism work? How does this work in the heart of someone? And then someone might say, "Look, well, it was God who made them do it anyways, right? So did they commit something wrong by doing what God made them do anyways?" Well, we must understand that when we talk about hearts, in essence, there are only two kinds of hearts in the sight of God, isn't it? There are only two kinds of people in the sight of God. One, sinners saved by grace. Another, sinners who continue to be sinners and reject the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, isn't it? There's no in-between, right? You look at the book of Revelation, right? Before the great white, it's either one or the other. We read about the epistles and how in the end times there will be judgment. And there are only two categories. You're either saved or you're not. And for the one who is saved, and this is the wonderful and glorious work of grace in our hearts. When the gospel of salvation is spoken into the hearts of the elect, and the work of the Holy Spirit comes to its fulfillment, this heart will receive that word of gospel and receive by the grace of God the glorious message of salvation. And that person will turn in repentance to God, isn't it? Just like you, many of you would have known that. I've heard your testimonies, and you and me, and all the others who know the salvation in the Lord. That is the work of the grace of God. But then there's another group of people whose heart have not been touched by that grace. And they will continue to reject the word of God. They may be very nice people. In fact, many of them are very nice people, very kind. Socially, they are very lovable. In fact, in terms of good works, I would dare say some of them, and many of them, would outdo many of us in many ways. To our shame, of course. But the difference is in the heart. Is it a heart that is touched by the grace of God? Now, how do we draw that conclusion from the text? Well, you see, you look at verse 20. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts. So it sounds as if God is the one that do the hardening, right? But listen carefully, read on. That they should come against Israel in battle. So they made a decision in their hearts, right? They made a decision, we're going to fight against Israel. In order that, verse 20, that he might destroy them utterly, right? And that they might have no favor. But they might have no favor. You underline those words, no favor. You see, the word favor, right, in Hebrew, is a word that is very closely associated with grace. Right? Grace, something that God gives. That they may not receive that grace. Because they were wicked and they were stubborn and their mind is set on only one thing. And all of this will end in their own destruction. So this is what verse 20 says. But that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. Now, when you look at verse 20, you'll see a few pronounced use, right? He, isn't it? For it was of the Lord, so there's the Lord, to harden their hearts. Now, their refers to the inhabitants of the land, the wicked men. That they should come against Israel, they meaning the inhabitants against Israel, that he might destroy them utterly. Who's the he? Right? And then, that they might receive no favor, they may receive no favor from God, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. They made up their minds to fight against Israel, and God permitted it. That Joshua and his army will destroy them. That Joshua and his army of Israelites will destroy them. And if you were listening to me in the last sermon, you would know the odds were against the Israelites. The Northern Alliance was described as many who have gathered together as many as the sands of the seashore. And technologically, they were superior. It was told, and we just read that verse in chapter 11. How they have horses and chariots, very many. And they knew the land. They were inhabitants of the land. So for all reckoning, the Israelites were at a great disadvantage. But God turned the tide for them, that they might be destroyed. The inhabitants of the land might be destroyed. And how were they destroyed? By a decision of their own making. Right? Look at verse 20. For it was of the Lord to harden their heart that they should come against Israel in battle. God's will was that the inhabitants of the land would disperse and be displaced. And they would probably save their lives if they did that. They could run south to Egypt. They could run north, right, to Asia Minor or parts of Syria or parts even further north. Right, into the Fertile Crescent in Mesopotamia. They're free to go. But this group made a decision in their heart that they will fight against the Israelites. And for that, they will be bringing about self-destruction. Now, you think about it and you say, yes, all right, I follow so far and I know it. So why is it of them? Why is it their fault and their decision? You see, when Joshua sent the spies to Jericho. Remember what Rahab said? You remember what Rahab said, right? That the inhabitants of the land were trembling. They all knew it. Joshua sent those spies to find out what the people in Jericho were thinking, even before he entered into the land, isn't it? And this is what was found out, and the inhabitants of the land knew it. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, right? It is said, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Because the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab the harlot had a heart which knew the true and living God. And she could see, right, the social change around her. Suddenly people are trembling. In this land that is prosperous, right, that has cities that were fortified and armies, suddenly they were afraid of this group of people because of their true and living God. And they heard about them. They crossed the Red Sea, you know. The Egyptians tried to chase them and all of them were wiped out. They drowned in the sea. And God fed them in the wilderness with manna. And anyone who come against them would be destroyed. But when we come to chapter 11, verse 20, Lord hardened their heart. What did they do? It was of them. It was in their mind that they should come against Israel. After knowing all of that, that there's a true and living God, and He's brought His people out of Egypt, and He's led them through the wilderness, He actually helped them to cross the Red Sea, and He's fed them, and He helped them to win all those battles that were in the Transjordan side, having destroyed the kings called Sihon and Og. Having done all of that, and you hear all of that, and you know all of that, still, I want to fight. I want to test myself against them. And I can just imagine it, you know, if the Northern Alliance had a war council at the waters of Meron, and you'll have all the generals on one side, right, and you have all the rulers and the elders on the other side. And then someone will stand up and speak, look, our enemies are there, right? They've destroyed the southern cities. They've destroyed Eglon and Jerusalem and Hebron and all those places. Now they're coming for us. And this is the same bunch of people that we heard about. They destroyed King Og, the giant. And now they're coming for us. And then the hardened hearts of the general will say, no, we will not yield. We will fight them. It was of God to harden their hearts. How terrible it is when a man or woman is of a hardened heart. They will not hear the word of God. They will have no perception of who God is or what He can do. They will have no understanding of the gathering of God's people and the accomplishment and the will of God in working amongst His people. They don't see that. All they can see in their hardened heart is, we will fight them. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that we all have a heart that is like a servant's heart, like Joshua. Not the kind of heart that would turn against the will of God. That would understand what is the mission of the church. That would understand what is the objectives of this church. You know, if you read our constitution, we have about seven, if I recall, there are seven objectives, the aims of the church. And what are the top three? Right, preaching of the gospel, very important, right? Salvation of souls. And edification of saints, helping to build up one another in the faith. And I pray every one of you would put some effort into some aspect of the work of the church to advance the kingdom of God. That's God's will for us. Don't harden your heart against it. Don't say, I don't like this, or I don't like this activity, I don't want to join, or I don't like prayer, I don't like fellowship, or Bible study, you know, too boring for me, too long. Or this one I cannot do, that one I cannot do. Church camp, I don't want to go, I don't have enough leave. We always hear excuses of all kinds. But when the hearts of men and women are compliant and obedient to God, you know what they will think? They will think to themselves, if I were to do this, what good does it do? Right, for my spiritual life, for the spiritual life of my brothers and sisters. What good does it do for the ministry of the word in the church? Finally, how does this bring glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And having known that, this man or woman will do it. He will lay down his life to do it. This is why we have this quote that is off-quoted. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is wholly consecrated to Him. And we see this clear example as Joshua, whose heart was set on obeying God. And we know that he obeyed God according to the Lord's commandment to Moses. He obeyed God as the Lord has said to Moses. He obeyed God as God has said unto him. Time and again, that obedient heart. But then there's another group of people, and who were they? Hardened hearts. Wicked men. And what is the outcome? The outcome to one. Victory. Spiritual strength. Glory of God. What about the outcome of the other? The hardened heart. Self-destruction. And forgotten. Right? Try to find out today, who are the Amorites? You can't find them. We don't know who they are. Who are the Perizzites? The Hivites? They are pages in the history books covered in dust. Nobody knows who they are. Self-destruction. So today we learn two very important lessons. When God hardened the hearts of wicked men, watch it. Let us be obedient instead. Let us have the servant's heart. And the outcome of each is drastically different. The servant's heart, the obedient heart, victory, spiritual strength, maturity. And then on the other hand, the hardened heart, what does it lead to? Self-destruction. Right? Spiritual demolition is gone. Finished. Never to be remembered again. So let us be very mindful in our hearts how we live and how the Lord leads and guides us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. For Thy word indeed is health and strength to Thy people. Help us to live lives that are pleasing in Thy sight, that we may do that which is glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.